Good morning. Man, I just want to begin this morning by just inviting you guys to join me in prayer this morning. Nothing takes God by surprise. You know, Satan tries to distract and he tries to attack at certain moments. And we know that God is always in control, that nothing is taking him aback. That he says, hey, I know I'm always in control. I've got this. And so this morning, if you just join me in prayer, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your timing, for your compassion for your people. Lord, we know that you are here this morning. We know that you have already shown up, that your spirit is here. And Lord, we continue to draw on your spirit, to invite your presence into this place. Lord, prayer this morning is that you speak loud to us, loud enough for us to hear, Lord, that our ears are open, Lord, that we understand your word, we understand what you're trying to say to us this morning, Lord, that we are sensitive to the move of your spirit, that wherever you want us to go, we will go. Lord, we lay every agenda aside, we lay every schedule aside and say, you have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, just like Miss Renee had said, it's funny how God works. I mean, it's not really funny, but that's the word you just say. It's awesome how God works and what he does. And just Kim had started saying some things this morning that were beginning to touch on what God is going to say to us this morning, what he has for us. The last several weeks, you know, we began to talk about the coming to the table and how we're supposed to approach Jesus, how we're supposed to come to Jesus, how we approach him in the manner of that he's blessed us in that he, we are to be broken and we are to be given. And so Miss Renee had brought the word on the broken loaves and began to talk about how, you know, that we're broken and we rise, you know, to what God has called us to, and that people are fed, people are filled because of the brokenness that God performs in us, I guess I could say. And so this morning, I want to talk about sacrifices. And in particular, sacrifice of brokenness. And at first, the word was going to begin to, you know, as it was coming, I thought it was going to be miracles through brokenness. But God began to change that throughout the week. And this morning, I want to talk about how we approach the table. You know, we cannot approach him in our prideful, self-centered, rebellious, sinful nature. We cannot approach him. We cannot approach the table in that way. It has to be in our brokenness that we approach him through humility, through obedience. Now, that is the biggest thing. So many times we deal with pride in our lives, we deal with rebellion in our lives, that we approach the table in that manner, and it's like we're not there. Because when we have that mentality and that heart attitude, we're not heard. We have to come in humility and in obedience, and we have to be broken. To us, the broken things, there we go, I can see better. The broken things are despised and thrown out. Anything we no longer need, we just simply throw away. Damaged goods are rejected. That includes people. In marriage, when relationships break down, the tendency is to walk away and find somebody new, rather than work on reconciliation. The world is full of people with broken hearts, broken spirits, and broken relationships. Brokenness is running rampant in the world. And the way they're broken is not the same way we're to be broken. Their brokenness is not the same. And I'm going to get to that. See, I'm wanting to go ahead and just say it. But God's got something in order here. And let me just share with you. This has probably been one of the most difficult messages I've worked on trying to bring together. Trying to organize it and get all these thoughts together. This has been one of the most difficult that I've ever had to do. I spent so much time just going over it, going, okay, God, what do you want me to say? Where do you want me to say it? How do you want me to say it? And so this has been one of the most difficult that I've ever brought together in this. And I know that God is going to use it. Because I know it's nothing that I've done. It's nothing that I'm spectacular at speaking, because I'm not. I'm not a great orator. You know, I'm not trained in the arts of lecture. I'm a Ron. It's all I am. It's who I am. And so the word that's going to be the word that's going to be presented this morning is not from me. It's from the heart of God. What He has for you. The broken relationships, that stands out to me. How many times do we see marriages fail? And the biggest thing that they do is they just walk away. They don't want to deal with it. And they find somebody new. But guess what? Because there was brokenness, there will continue to be brokenness. It will never get any better until there's reconciliation. First, reconciliation with the Father. That's the first thing that has to be done. Broken things and broken people are a result of sin. Now the word, the Bible, not the word Bible, but the word that we have, so many times we're so good at using the word to point at everyone else. You know, I brought it out before how, you know, in 2 Timothy it talks about, you know, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be made perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. And so many times I like to use that Scripture to defend something I was trying to, my agenda. So many times I've done that. But the word is to point to you. So when I say that broken things and broken people are a result of sin, just because we're in church, just because we're here, doesn't mean that we're not sinners. We still deal with sin. Not that I'm saying you're living in a lifestyle of sin, but we still deal with the prideful things, for the things that we want to rebel against, for the things that we want to go, I don't know, God. You know, when He says, hey, would you be willing to do this? Would you do this? I don't know. I can't do that. Those things are disobedience, and that is sin. So let me just put it in perspective. We're all sinners. We all deal with sin. We all deal with things that we're trying to bring the flesh into submission. We live in a broken world. We are broken people. But guess what? God's specialty is dealing with the broken. His specialty is using the broken. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, Paul, as much as he has done, as much, what he done with persecuting Christians, what he thought was done right, and when God met him on the road to Damascus and changed his life, and he began to go and preach the gospel. And even as it, through all this, and he was doing what God's wanting him to do and changed his life, he still says that that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So he wants to first tell people that what I'm telling you is not just for you, it's for me also. So let me set it at ease that I'm not trying to condemn, I'm not trying to be better than anybody else. I'm simply saying this is for everybody. He's here for sinners. He died on the cross for sinners, and I'm one of them. I'm one of the biggest offenders there could ever be. And he still died for me. He still came to fix my brokenness. It's only when we surrender to Christ can we be restored and transformed. Such surrender requires a brokenness on our part. God draws us. He calls to us, and he longs for us to come to him so we can be healed. So he can heal us. But so many times what happens is we get caught up in our lives. We get caught up in our problems and in our circumstances. And we're unable to hear his call because we're too busy. Too busy with other things. With our lives, our families, our work, our own problems, our unhappiness. Sometimes we must be broken before we can realize our need. And our deepest need is to be reconciled to God. I want you to see in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, as I saw this scripture, this epitomizes what God is speaking to us today. Anyone desires. What is it to desire? That means you have to want to. You have to have a willingness to do something. If anyone has the will and the desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. What does the cross represent? Sacrifice and brokenness. The cross is where Jesus was broken, where he gave the sacrifice so we don't have to. He paid the price for our sins. Take up your cross daily. Be willing to be broken and to have sacrifice in your life daily, is what he's telling us. And when we do that, we follow him. Our sacrifice is an act of willingness. If anyone desires, our brokenness makes us cling to God and lean on him. We have to have him. We have to have the humbleness and the willingness to surrender ourselves, surrender our circumstances, our problems that we have in life. We have to be willing to sacrifice the brokenness and offer that to God. Because our brokenness is what He wants. Because it's in that that we've acknowledged we are useless until He gets a hold of us. That it's in Him that we can do all things. It's nothing that we can do. During the final week of Jesus' life, He was eating a meal. Go figure, He's at the table. He's always at the table. And a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on His head, as we see in Mark 14. The woman's actions of breaking the alabaster jar was symbolic of a couple things. One, it was symbolic of the breaking of Jesus on the cross. And the other thing, it's symbolic of all who follow Him must be willing to be broken as well. But you must understand that the result of the brokenness is costly. That's why He tells us, count the cost of what it takes to follow Me. Count the cost of what it is to be broken. We can't comprehend that so many times to go, okay, yeah, hey, things are going to be great when I follow Jesus. Yeah, you know, things are going to line up, things are going to be perfect. But that's not the case. What is it going to cost? It's going to cost us being broken. Having broken hearts, broken spirits. And that be our sacrifice so God can use us. The problem with most time in the world is people stay in their brokenness. They stay there. Just like I said earlier, someone has a broken marriage and they walk away and they find somebody else. And they stay in that brokenness, and every relationship after that starts out of brokenness. They never allowed God to heal and mend and build back in them. He wants to restore and reconcile us to Himself. You cannot be broken by your circumstances. And that came out wrong. We don't need to be broken by our circumstances. Because when you're broken by the circumstances, you're broken in a different way. And I'll get to that. I'll explain that in a moment. When you stay in that brokenness because you're broken by your circumstances, by the problems that you've encountered, that you've had in life. The Word says that a broken spirit causes dry bones. Not just because you have a broken spirit, but when you remain in that broken spirit, when you live your life in that brokenness, it causes the dry bones. There can be no life in you. In Isaiah 66 and verse 2, in the version I'm reading out of is in the New Living Translation, New Life Version, it says, "My hands made all these things, and so all these things came into being, says the Lord. But I will look to the one who has no pride and is broken in spirit and who shakes with fear at my word." There are some things in our lives that need to be broken. The pride, self-will, stubbornness, sinful habits. And what it's telling us in Isaiah is that he's looking for the ones that are not operating in pride, that have the broken spirit that he's looking for, and who fear his word. He's looking for those. David tells us in Psalms 34, 18, that the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit, a repentant spirit. So he's looking for those that have no pride, that have a broken spirit, and he's near to them. So he looks for them and he's near to them. I like the way it put it there. He looks to the one. He's looking. When I'm looking at someone, I'm waiting for them. God's waiting on us to allow the brokenness, to allow God to break us, not our circumstances. There's something about reaching a breaking point that causes us to seek the Lord more sincerely. When we reach that breaking point, you see it so many times. Is it out of the broken spirit, the broken heart? Or is it out of the brokenness that we've lived our lives, out of the brokenness of the circumstances? So many times when someone, you know, they say, "Oh, this has happened. God, if you just take care of this, I'll never do this again. Lord, please help me. I know I was doing this, but, you know, if you do this," we start bargaining with God when we're broken out of our circumstances. And we want to cut deals. But what usually happens is we don't hold up our end of the bargain. The only one that's ever held up their end of the bargain has been God. He's the one that has made the covenants, that has lasted. King David was a broken man. And we see in Psalms 51 and verse 10 that he says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God." I don't think I gave them this scripture. "And renew a steadfast spirit within me." If you don't know the story of David, the things that he, when he was king, that he began to do, he began to allow the pride and lust of his flesh and the desires of his own heart dictate his actions. And everything he'd done was trying to take care of that problem on his own. But it kept getting worse. He kept getting in deeper until he came to the point where the prophet said, "You're wrong." I'm paraphrasing this, nutshelling it. "You're wrong. Get yourself right." And David was quick from that point to turn his heart back to God. And that's why he's saying, "Renew a steadfast spirit within me, not this broken spirit that I have." Psalms 51 and verse 17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." In the New Living Translation, it puts it this way: "The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit, and you will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." This is what we need to look at. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. We want to offer up everything else in our lives that we deal with. So many times we want to hold on to that brokenness, because for some reason we find some type of weird comfort in that. We like to use crutches. We like to use things that we can have as excuses in our lives. We love making excuses. Yeah, I would do this, but if you knew what happened to me, if you knew how I was raised, how I grew up, if you only knew what my friend did to me, and we use that as a crutch to stay in that brokenness, as an excuse to stay there, and there's never any healing because we use that. The solution can never come from our own efforts or our own striving, but only comes from Him. Only when we recognize our needs for God are we able to take our eyes off ourselves and focus them on God and Jesus Christ. Only when we stop thinking about ourselves and start thinking about what Jesus did for us can we begin to heal. Only when we admit our need and ask God into our life can God begin to make us whole. Only when we confess that we are broken can God make us into what He wants us to be. Once we let go of self and place God at the center of our lives, everything else falls into place. That's why we see in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. So we have to let go of ourself. We have to put Jesus at the center of our lives. God will take care of everything else. The Bible indicates that God breaks those who are proud and rebellious. That's the reason I said that the Word points to me also. I'm included in that. We see how the mighty Pharaoh set himself against God. He said, I will not let them go. Every time something would happen and God would do something, one of the plagues, he'd be like, okay. And then when the time came, no, I am not doing it. Pride and rebellion. And we see that God broke Pharaoh because Pharaoh was proud and rebellious and set himself against the things of God. So God broke him and freed His people from the bondage and the shame. He breaks all those who proudly resist Him. In Isaiah 65:14, my servants will sing out of joy of their hearts, but will cry out from anguish of heart and will wail in brokenness of spirit. In the verses before that, he's talking about if you continue in your ways, if you continue in living the way you want to live and doing the things that you want to do, you'll call out. You'll cry, but you will have anguish and broken spirit. We see the same thing in Isaiah 30. In verses 12 through 14, therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly and in an instant. And its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the hearth or to dip up water out of the cistern. If you continue to do your way, to live in the brokenness, you'll be broken. I was once shone bright. God used me. I was a light. People were drawn to the light. But then one day something happened, and I was broken. I was damaged. And I thought, no one will know because I still look like I'm good. As long as no one wants to use me, they'll never know. They'll never know that I'm broken. But I continue to have pressure on me because I never allowed God to heal the brokenness in me. Because I continue to live in that brokenness. The pressure gets heavier and heavier. I'm trying my best to hide it so people don't know. I try to avoid relationships. I try to avoid what God's wanting me to do. And I keep making excuses, but it just keeps getting heavier and heavier. And every which way I turn, I cannot get relief from this heaviness. But I'm still, I want to be used, but I know I'm damaged. But the pressure is too great, and I don't want to give it to God. No! Don't come over. Don't look. Don't see. Don't come over here. You might get hurt. Don't step in it. I don't want you to be hurt. But I'm staying here. And I continue to be hurt because of the shards. I'm scattered. I keep being hurt. As long as I can keep people at a distance, as long as I can keep people away, maybe they won't be hurt either. Just like it says in the Scripture, they'll be violently broken suddenly. When you allow the circumstances to break you, it's a different type of breaking. The breaking that we need is to be a sacrifice. Willingness. And when we allow God to be the one that breaks us, not our circumstances, not the things in our lives, our problems, as long as we are willing to sacrifice those things in our lives, it will be wrapped in God's love and His grace. And the brokenness is gentle. Others won't be hurt because He keeps it. He says, I won't allow this brokenness to hurt other people. Let me wrap it in my love and my grace, and I will take care of you. I will mend and I will heal. And it's Him who makes things new. He makes new what was broken. There's nothing we can do. He says, I want to use you again. Sacrifice to me your brokenness. Because even though you were once broken, because you were once broken and you sacrificed your broken spirit to me, I can use you once again. We don't want our circumstances to be what breaks us, because we stay just that way in brokenness. And God can't use the brokenness when it becomes dry bones until you turn back and you sacrifice your brokenness. You have a broken spirit and you give that to God. He's near to the brokenhearted. He's near to those that are broken. He says, I can use you once again. People will see the light once again. We don't have to hide the brokenness. We don't have to be ashamed of the brokenness. Because it needs to be a sacrifice. That's what He desires. He desires our brokenness to be the sacrifice to Him. Psalms 51. Whatever has happened in your life, any hurts that you have experienced in your life, whatever has happened that has caused brokenness in you, God wants that because He uses the broken. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to sacrifice. A sacrifice is something that you do willingly. Leviticus 26, 13. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt so you would no longer be their slaves. I broke the yoke of slavery from your neck so you can walk with your heads held high. He doesn't want us to be ashamed when we turn to Him. That's what keeps us so many times, because we're ashamed of the sin that we deal with in our lives, for the pride and rebellion that causes the brokenness in our lives. We're ashamed of that. We try to hide it and we don't want others to know. And so many times we allow that pride and that shame to keep us from acknowledging that we are broken. He wants your sacrifice this morning. But are you willing? Are you willing to sacrifice your brokenness? It's His love and His grace that breaks us gently, and His love and His grace that releases miracles in our lives, because He uses broken vessels. He makes new and restores. He heals and He mends. Bow your heads this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace that wraps us, surrounds us, and keeps us. Lord, this morning, I declare that Your word is at work. I know that it's at work, and I declare that it is taking root in the hearts of Your people this morning. The roots of pride and rebellion, bitterness, that they are broken in the name of Jesus. That the roots are dug up at the source, and they are disposed of and they are destroyed by the blood. Lord, that You will create a new heart, renew a right spirit within us this morning. Brokenness has operated too long in this place, and it is time for God to make new. If you're here this morning and you can say that I am broken and I've held on to it and I've not allowed God to bring healing, I've not allowed God to use me, I've tried to keep things at a distance, and I just don't want to hurt anybody else. If your heart is there, God is telling you this morning, I am near to you. I am near to those with a broken heart. Sacrifice the broken spirit. And if you want somebody to agree with you this morning, to pray with you, I am here. There are others here to agree with you that God will restore and renew and reconcile you to Himself. If you're here this morning, I want to invite you. These stairs are here as an altar so you can bring sacrifice, so that you can sacrifice those things in your life that have caused the brokenness and that are keeping you in the brokenness. Because we're coming to a place, to a time in this place where we're not going to allow brokenness anymore in this place to operate. That God is performing a new work. So this morning, again, the altars are open. And I want to invite you that you can come and you can give your sacrifice.